praise God, I'm learning stuff.
Questions?
And I most of all need to learn more than anybody, in my opinion.
You put these glasses up here, Sandy. Thank you, I'm not seeing me. So I need to get this Bible, I like my Bible. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. And to the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you once again, Lord, to be here this morning, Father, and worship you, Lord. And Lord, to learn more from your word, Father God, and apply your word to our lives. Lord, as I stand up here and speak this morning, Father God, I'm your vessel, Lord. Father God, give me the anointing that you have in me, Lord, to speak the words you have me to speak, Lord, clearly and understand them. And Holy Spirit, sir, I ask you to guide us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now this scripture, this letter that Jesus is telling John to write to the church of Smyrna is the shortest or most brief of all the seven churches, but it's one of the most powerful. This covers a time period of AD 170 to AD 312. Like I said, these messages to the churches are representative of the state of the church at that time. It covers almost a period of over 200 years. Smyrna was a really large city. It was almost as large as Ephesus in its day. It's about 40 miles from Ephesus. And now, as today, it's now known as the city of Izmir in the country of Turkey. It was a very important commerce and populated city back in the days when this was written, and it's a very important city in Turkey now. Back in the day, in the Bible of this message, because of its size and importance and splendor of that day, it was also known as the beautiful. And that's important because the world called it beautiful. And just like Ephesus, Smyrna was also a stronghold of darkness, especially in worshiping the idolatry. Very, very, very big in that. The church of Smyrna and the scripture message to it represents a time of great persecution for the church. The governmental laws, the imperial laws of that time, which was of Asia Minor, against Christians were enforced severely. And not just coming from the local government and the king's government, but from Jews also. Remember, the Jews didn't like Christianity. The Jews and the heathen combined together put a lot of pressure on local authorities against the Christians. A lot of them were hurt. A lot of them were killed. Smyrna was at the very center of all this persecution. It was very bad. Whenever I was reading this and got to studying it, my heart went out. Christians and saints in the church at that time. You know, in the script of time, the length of time, the church wasn't very old. But then a lot of people have lost their lives in very strong faith. And they lost their lives because of that faith. But lots of times it was more fierce against the Christians and the saints than other times. Sometimes it would be let up with them. But overall, it's still very bad. It covered a period of about 250 years. That's a lot of generations. Can you imagine if you went to church and your great-great-grandparents all the way down to you had to worship God, almost sneak to do it in fear of your life. And when you were caught, you're going to be put to death. And it wasn't going to be a simple, like, instant death all the time. You were most certainly going to be tortured. I know a lot of people have heard a lot of stories about it, in the Bible and out of the Bible. We have a book in our library Brother Scotty talks about. I got it and read most of it, and I had to stop because it didn't really grieve me, but it hurt me. There's some people in that book, and it's called the Fox's Book of Martyrs. I did not have any idea how many people it documented that died for the Word of God, for a testimony in the Lord Jesus Christ. And most of them were not easy deaths, if you want to call death easy. I would imagine an easy death would be passing away in your own bed at home with your loved ones around you. None of them was like that. Very violent, very painful. About the most painful thing that a pagan man can inflict on another man. In the city of Smyrna, one of these people was mentioned, I'm not going to dwell on him, just tell you his name is Polycarp. He's not mentioned in the Bible, but he was a very, very close friend of St. John the Apostle. He died when he was 90 years old, was killed for his testimony in Smyrna. Now, I only wanted to point that out because we're only going to have three verses to talk about this morning. But I wanted to hit home like the Lord hit it home with me. I'm 59 years old. I hadn't really suffered for the Word of the Lord. Not compared to these people. I dare say very many people that I know have. I'm not going to, you know, pass a judgment decision about it, but I said I dare say. I've not seen it. I've seen, you know, I've been made fun of and I've been called names. That's enough. These people lost their lives. We'll get a little bit more on that later. Verse 8 begins. As the Lord Jesus begins speaking, I'm going to read a lot while I'm talking out of the Amplified version because I like the way they put the words a little more understandable. It's home better. It says, these are the words, the first and the last, absolute deity, the Son of God, who died and came to life again. Jesus lets the saints know who he is. Now remember, he's telling John to write these letters, this message, to the angel of the church. And I said before when I started, that angel is pastor. Jesus has no need to write a letter to the angel to serve him in heaven, serve the Father in heaven. As figuratively speaking, it's what Jesus calls the pastor, the leader of the churches. To get a better description, we read also in chapter 1 and verse 17 that I like even better. And I do not want to fail to make mention of it all I can. This is Jesus talking, chapter 1 and verse 17. He says, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the absolute deity, the Son of God. And verse 18 says, and the ever-living one, living in and beyond all time and space. I died, but see, I am alive forevermore and have the keys, the absolute control and victory over death and of Hades, which is the realm of the dead, what we call hell. What Jesus has, we can have. Now, we can't be the Son of God, but what he has been a man and being God, what he died for us, we can have. Yeah. In this world, he gives us a lot to get through a lot of stuff. But I wanted to point that out, what our Lord and Savior is, our glorious Lord and Savior. He is glorified now. He came as a sacrificial lamb of God. He is not a lamb anymore. He is the ever, alive forevermore, Son of God, in glory, and majestic majesty, and power over all, any, everything, came in earth and above. Let's move on to verse 9. We'll read it out of the King James Version. Jesus is talking to the church at Smyrna, and he says, I know thy works and tribulations and poverty, but thou art rich. I'm going to stop right there for a minute. Like I said before,
I didn't get to have a lot of time to get into a lot of study of it. Whenever I read the, I remember reading, because when I was reading that book, I told you about Fox's Book of Martyrs, there was lots and lots of Christians killed in Asia Minor, quite a few in Smyrna, by the sword, by hanging, by being cut up in pieces, being crucified, being burned, about it, almost every imaginable thing that you can think of, the hurt and killing you read. Because they wouldn't say anything except, I love Jesus, and Jesus is my Savior. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but that's enough of them. They'd get you killed, tortured and killed. And they wouldn't ever back down from that. But Jesus says, I know what you have suffered. He also knew what they were going to suffer. Get them out a little bit. And you can guarantee if Jesus knows, he's not going to forget. Our Father, our God in heaven knows what we suffer for the work of the Lord and for the word of God nowadays. He knew what they suffered then at the church of Smyrna. And everything we do that we suffer for the name's sake of Jesus and God's word, God is going to reward us. God's not going to forget us. He's not going to use that man phrase. That's just part of the job. Everything we do, God is going to remember, and we're going to be judged for it. Even after we're born again. This letter is to born-again Christians. It's not to the lost. The lost can't comprehend this. We can't. If you're born again, you can't comprehend this. I got a little challenge for you. You need to get in the Word of God. Anybody can hear my voice on the internet in this building. And that goes to me. And God's word gets where you can't comprehend it. Now, granted, some of the wording is kind of confusing sometimes, but there's never been a time if I sat down and got on my knees and asked the Lord to help me, the Holy Spirit to guide me, and his word has never failed, and I have got what I asked for every time. Now, I dare say that there may be people that ask for the wrong reason. And yes, there is a wrong reason. There are people that's hired to be ministers, to be evangelists. Now, what I say by hire is something we'll get into a little later. You know, just because a person's an evangelist and he goes to church, like we have evangelists come to church here, and our pastor and preaches the word of God, if they receive money for it, does not mean that they're hired for it. There's a difference. When I went to get my job, I'm a truck driver. I went to the company where I was at, and I said, look, I see a sign that says you need a driver. I'm a truck driver. And this is what I can do, how much you're going to pay. When I was growing up, I'd never known of a man of God that was like that. Every man of God, pastor, evangelist, teacher, deacon, some of the deacons were appointed by the pastor, but most everybody I knew had any kind of leadership role. Either called by the Lord, or rightly so by the pastor, whoever's supposed to be appointed by the Lord, to be in that position. Now, I'm not going to get into real deepness. It's not against God's laws nor his word for our pastor to see offerings or pay for his word. It's not against God's law or his word for an evangelist to receive offerings or money for what he's doing. God has to support it. God called. Plus, the ones that give get a blessing. Win-win. The man of God gets blessed. The person of God gets blessed. Therefore, there's no need to be hired. Well, I found out long after I was well and adult, they are to this day doctrines, denominations, that hire pastors and people who work in the church. Now, all I'm going to say about that is, we'll get into something a little later. The way that I just described how I went about getting my job, for a man of God to do that is not so. Now, I'm not like super informed about it, but I know enough to know about it. When God calls you, God's going to make a way.
If somebody says God's called me to preach, then God's going to give them an opportunity to preach. Doing what I do up here, I ask God for an opportunity to do more ministry. I want to do more than come to the church. And, you know, not that I'm saying that I'm better than anybody else, but I want to do something more. And when Sister Teresa said that she needed somebody to do this the last Sunday every month, it was like Brother Scotty said, there's something inside of me that, and like April said, when she volunteered to play the keyboard, she never played the keyboard before, so she could get it. Something inside of me, the Holy Spirit, come there. Here it is. And I'm not up here in my own accord, but I'm going to tell you right now, if it was just something I wanted to do, I don't know how many years I've been doing that, but I don't quit a long time ago.
Right.
My brother Scott says it ain't easy. Following God's word for your life and his plan for his word is not always easy. Enjoyable? Yes. Blessed? Yes. Rewarding? Yes. Easy? Not always. Sometimes it is easy. Whenever you do, use your faith and push ahead and do what God has called you or has asked you to do, or even what you have agreed to do, and God have an agreement to do it. When you push ahead and get through the flesh and the world and all the things that's coming against you, it's very rewarding. You can't beat it.
Right.
It's right up next to blessed are those who give. More blessed to give than receive. I stand up here and talk. I don't feel like I do a lot of teaching, but I just, you know, I'm here because God said to be here, and I'm going to do my best to do what God gave me to do with every gift I have that God gave me. Something else that. But God knows. Jesus is saying, I know what you're going through. I know what you're going to have to go through. But what was really good about it, and Brother Scotty teaches us all the time, I'm going to read some other scriptures. The Hebrew Christians at that time were glad to serve for the Lord's sake. Yeah. I'm telling you, I got a family that's right here and is working in this church, and I'm going to be the first one to tell you. Somebody walked through that door and put a gun in their head and said, tell me if you know, recant or say you don't believe in Jesus, that's going to be a hard thing to do. I don't care how much I love Jesus. It's going to be hard to do. But those people did it. And they were glad to do it. Yeah. Now, was it hard on them? I'm sure it was very hard. But it's, I'm going to call it a mindset of faith. They wouldn't back down from it. They wouldn't back up. And they didn't have what we got. Yeah. They didn't have the word we have. They had people that was teaching them all in these cities, even though we don't have a record of it in the Bible, we know that there was a church of Smyrna because Jesus is writing a letter to the angel of the church of Smyrna. Now, Paul or some missionary, Paul is probably very, very much involved if he didn't do it and set that church up and get it started. In the middle of nowadays, I don't think we really know how bad idolatry was back then. It was a way of life. It wasn't something you do on the weekends. Just like our Christian life, the way we believe in God, they believe in their idols the same way. They are people today that believe in false doctrines just as much as we believe our God. But back in those days, it was whole cities. It wasn't a few people here, a few people there. And the Christians were right in the middle of all that being persecuted for the belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and for teaching it and for spreading it. And they were killed for it. But they were glad for it. If you want to turn to Hebrews chapter 32, I'm going to read this in the Amplified. And it's a good bit of reading. Enough to start off with. There's a few verses. I'm going to read it in the Amplified because I like what it says. But remember the earlier days when after being spiritually enlightened, you've been born again, you patiently endured the great conflicts of sufferings. Sometimes by being made a spectacle, publicly exposed to insults and distress, and sometimes by becoming companions with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy and deep concern for those who were in prison, and you jointly accepted the unjust seizure of your belongings and the confiscation of your property, conscious of the fact that you have a better possession and a lasting one prepared for you in heaven. Do not, therefore, fling away your careless confidence, for it has a glorious and great reward. For you have need of patience and endurance to bear up under difficult circumstances without compromise, so that when you have carried out the will of God, you may receive and enjoy to the full what is promised. That's what Jesus is telling the church of Smyrna. I know what you're suffering. You may have lost everything. People did. They were, had stuff taken away from their very homes, everything they had, and then put to death. Jesus said, I know what you've lost. I know what you've been through. I know you're suffering. I know you're hurting. I know you died. But you're rich. You have more than you'll ever dream. You have treasures in heaven. That's what he's telling us. And we're not even near having suffered near as much as people of Smyrna did in that church. At this point in day and time, we come together peacefully, in public, not under the look of anything that we know of that even resembles any kind of violence other than the coming from the enemy, but in physical, from the government or the local authorities. We have nothing in this world to keep us from coming through them doors and worshiping God that's going to hurt us. The only thing that keeps us from doing it is our flesh and the ways of this world. That's not much to overcome. And I'm not talking about this stuff here in this building. Everybody knows we're out on the internet. Anybody that can hear my voice, if you're not in church today, I'm not passing judgment on you, but God expects you to be there. I'm going to switch over this one. Well, praise God, I don't need microphones. I'm going to say it again. God says, He applies, He supplies. He says, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. I'm not going quick enough to cover it, but I don't want to cover it. So. Got a lot of reason right here. I think it's in John chapter 8. I'm not sure.
31 of that.
Yes, but John chapter 8. I'm going to read this. It's quite a few verses, but it's something I want to bring out. I always wondered, the last part of this verse, what Jesus was talking about. He said, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. And unsurprisingly, the Lord helped me with it yesterday, last night. John chapter 8, I'm going to start reading verse 31. Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word continually, obey in my teachings, and live in accordance with them, then you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth regarding salvation, and the truth will set you free from the penalty of sin. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been enslaved to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be set free?" Jesus answered, "I assure you and most solemnly say to you, everyone who practices sin perpetually is a slave of sin. Now the slave does not remain in a household forever. The son of the master does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, then you are unquestionably free. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you plan to kill me because my word has no place to grow in you. And it makes no change in your heart. I tell the things that I have seen in my Father's sight in his very presence. So you always also do the things that you heard from your father." They answered, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you are truly Abraham's children, then do the works of Abraham and follow his example." What is his example? Abraham, to put this in context, the only way I can think about, he is the original Jew. He is the father of the Jewish race. God told him, "I have this plan for your life." I'm going to paraphrase because I'm running out of time. "And this is what I'm going to do. This is what I want you to do." And Abraham said, "Okay," and did it. Now, we don't have, except what the Bible tells us, but I'm sure that God and Abraham had a lot of sit down, what we might call, but a spiritually face-to-face conversation, but it was spirit-to-spirit. Abraham knew who Jesus is. He knew what God's plan was going to be, and he embraced it. The Jewish people, the children of Israel, did not see it. They did not hear it. They did not understand it. They did not comprehend it. They didn't believe it, and they weren't going to have no part of it. All they can see in their brain was the law of Moses, the law, the law, the law. Now, I started some months back talking about the dispensation of time back in the wilderness. The children of Israel had grace, and they chose law. And God said, and he didn't come out to them and say, "Well, if you choose this or choose that." He told them, said, "If you will do this," and they said, "Okay, we'll do it." They didn't think about, you know, "We've been doing this all along. We've been blessed, and that was grace." They chose law. That's man's way of saying things. Verse 40, Jesus kept on saying, "But as it is, you wanted to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This is not the way Abraham acted. If you are doing the works of your own father, you are doing the works of your own father." They said to him, "We are not illegitimate children. We have one spiritual father, God." And Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, but he is not, you would have and recognize me. You would love and recognize me, for I came from God, out of his very presence, and have arrived here. For I have not even came on my own initiative as self-appointed, but he, God, is the one who sent me. Why do you misunderstand what I am saying? It is because your spiritual ears are deaf, and you are unable to hear the truth of my word." Now that's prophetic. Because God's word said in the Old Testament they were not going to believe, they were going to harden their hearts. The scriptures to be fulfilled. But Jesus is trying to explain it to them anyway. In verse 44, he goes on to say, "You are of your father the devil, and it is your will to practice the desires which are characteristic of your father, traditions. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks what is natural to him, for he is a liar and the father of lies and half-truths." Talking about Satan, the devil. And Jesus went on and said, "But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me and continue in your unbelief. Which one of you has proof and conviction of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me?" Verse 47 says, "Whoever is of God and belongs to him hears the truth of God's words. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God, and you are not in fellowship with him. Now, he's saying this to people that's Jewish people, and more than likely there was a lot of leadership in Israel at the time around Jerusalem that followed Jesus around like his believers, trying to ensnare him in his words, and eventually doing what they thought was justice and putting him to death. So all these people are here, and he's telling them, because you know who this is going to hurt? You know who this is going to get to? The ones that don't know him. The ones that don't know who he is. I heard Brother Ed Ballou say one time, he was walking along the road with his grandpa. He said there's a bunch of old dogs over in the ditch or something. He had an old deer or something over there. They'd been dead for a few days apart. It was chewing. He said, they've got 10 or 12 of them. So his grandpa picked up a rock and hollered at them. They wouldn't move or anything. So he didn't like them just being over there like that, close to their house. And he threw the rock. And one of them yelped, and they all run. Brother Ed said, he was a little guy, about 9 or 10. He said, Grandpa, which one of them dogs you hit? He said, the one that hollered, son. Sometimes it's the way the Word of God is. And it hits you. The holler. The holler. It hits your knees. That's the way I see it. God's Word has hit me before. Holy Spirit has judged me before. Sometimes it's taken me a little while to get around and getting on my knees and repent and asking God, what do I need to do? But Jesus is God's Word, and he's speaking God's Word. And the people that serve him is the ones that don't believe him. The ones that believe him abide in his words. Verse 48, the Jews answered him, saying, are we not right when we say you are a Samaritan and that you have a demon and are under its power? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon. On the contrary, I honor my Father and you dishonor me. Now we're getting into there now when we talk about the blasphemy. The people say they're Jews and they're not, but our synagogue is safe. These people are the Jews. It says in verse 48, the Jews. Verse 50, Jesus said, however, I am not seeking glory for myself. There is one who seeks glory for me and judges those who dishonor me. I assure you, and most solemnly say to you, if anyone keeps my word by living in accordance with my message, he will indeed never, ever see and experience death. Now, when God speaks about death, he's not talking about our physical body dying. He's talking about spiritual death. Eternal, no turning back, no getting it back, no fixing it, separation from him and torment. That's a long time. And we have no idea what kind of torment it opens up the Bible tells us, and that's really bad. I don't have time to get into all that. Just give you another whole message. Verse 52, that you said to him, now we know that you have a demon and are under his power. Abraham died and also the prophets, yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never ever taste of death. Are you greater than our father Abraham who died? The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is worth nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. Yet you do not know him, but I know him fully. If I said I did not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham greatly rejoiced to see my day, my incarnation. He saw it and was delighted. Abraham seen the day that Jesus was going to be born and come to the earth. Abraham seen the ministry that Jesus was going to perform spiritually from God. He seen the death and the burial and the resurrection. He knew what God's plan was and he rejoiced in it. He believed it. That's the only way you can rejoice in it. You can go out here and speak to lost people all day long that Jesus died for their sin. You know what the key is for them getting born again? Believing. You know why you're born again? You know why I'm born again? We believe it. When you believe it, There's where the supernatural power of God starts working in your life. That's how you get moving. That's the mystery. A lot of people don't understand, can't explain. That's what it is. It's simple. You believe. When you believe who Jesus is, God can work miracles in your life. And when you believe His word and honor His word, He keeps working miracles in your life. It doesn't stop. Verse 57, then the Jews said to him, you're not even 50 years old, and you claim to have seen Abraham. Jesus replied, I assure you, and most solemnly say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Now, when the verse says, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, that's what Jesus is talking about here. To blaspheme Jesus means to not give him credit for who he is, to not believe him. That's what blasphemy is. One of the reasons for the definition. And when you do that, you also set yourself up for sin. Hardening in your heart, which you have to get over. And then the last part of that says, that are sent by the liars, and so, and Jews and are not. And I just proved that with the word of the Lord, because Jesus said, if you're a Jew, Abraham was a Jew, he's your father, he knew me, he rejoiced in me, but you don't. If you knew Abraham and you knew God, you should know, excuse me, you should know me. Yeah. But they didn't. Therefore, they're not Jews like Jesus said they were really Jews. They were born of the blood of Jews, but they were not Jews in the spirit of their heart. And then the last part said, but are the synagogue of Satan. They blaspheme. They believe in the law over the word of God. Whenever you do not believe God's word, you put it aside, you don't believe Jesus died for your sins, or you just put it aside and don't want to hear it, you're walking right straight into the synagogue of Satan. I don't care who you are or what you are. Those for me and everybody. When you start believing, you start getting out of that and walking into the word of the Lord. Now we're going to go into verse 10. I'm going to read it in King James Version. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. I've already went on and on about how bad they suffered and they died. Jesus knows it, but he's telling them what the reward is. It's a crown of life. Jesus is going to give it to them. If you get killed, if you suffer greatly, especially lose your life for the word of God, your testimony of the word of God, you will receive the crown of life. Jesus himself is going to stand and give it to you. And you remember the story where Stephen was being stoned. He said, I look in heaven and see Jesus standing. I believe Jesus is getting ready to give Stephen his crown. And that's what I think. No, it's not in the Bible. But that's what I think. That's my opinion. If you've got any scripture says there, tell me and I'll change my thinking. That's what I think. And I did a lesson one time on the crowns, and this is one of the most sought-after crowns that probably any of us should do. Do I want to just flank myself in front of the trucks? I'm dying in the name of Jesus. No, I'm not. But to stand up and to live your life in the face of the devil who's trying to kill you by the means of this world, and they may kill his body, they can't kill your spirit, they can't kill your testimony. When your words go out of your dying body, there'll be somebody that hears it. Mm-hmm. And they may get born of you. But that's happened more than once through the ages. They could also see Jesus. And he says, well done, my faithful servant. Here's your crown. It's going to be a crown of gold to you. Amen. God honors those who honor him. Now it mentions here about the devil's going to try them and put them in jail and they're going to have tribulation 10 days. I'm not getting into a lot of that. They
I went to studying it, and there's a lot of back and forth that I couldn't find any absolute prequel descriptions what exactly that was, but it's representative of all the tribulation that the people of the Church of Smyrna was going through. The Church of Smyrna was a persecuted church in the name of Jesus to the point of death, meaning they were killed because they said, I love Jesus and I'm not changing, I'm not saying anything different. Verse 11 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. The second death is the spiritual death that I was talking about earlier. Now, I'm not trying to be judgmental or point anybody out. I'm going to raise my hand. Anybody in here can remember what life was like before you was born again? Anybody in here want to go back to that? The second death is going to be millions and bazillions of times worse than what you were living before you were born again. It's going to be forever. I remember my life. I was thinking sometime then, I got a good day, a good day. Maybe that day was. There's been days that I didn't think I was going to make it through it. And even my upbringing, being raised in church, the Holy Spirit would come to me and tell me, trying to lead me back to God, and I keep resisting for years and years and years. And because my Father loved me and loves me, He made a way and He'll come back. And He always will, as long as you have a repentant heart and if you believe. Jesus said that He'll leave the 99 and go to the one. When He got you and born, you were born again, you are the one. For the rest of your life, you are the one. Each and every one of us. And Jesus is the only one that can do that for us. And where it says here, who has an ear, let him hear. Let's talk about physically. We have a physical. What I mean by that, we've got ears. We have a physical Bible, a book. On our phones, a book that we carry. Get it taught in church. We have a responsibility to hear the word. Increase our faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And it's individual. I can't do it for anybody. Not my wife, not my kids, not my brother. I've got a brother and sisters raised exactly the same way I was. And I'm not trying to talk bad about them, but I don't think they've been in church probably in 30 years, except maybe for funerals and weddings. And I'm not trying to talk bad about them. I've tried to witness to them all the time, and my brother tolerates it. My sister, she'll stop talking to them. And now I pray for them. One of my constant prayers. I don't want to experience this physical death because they've closed their ears. Because there's going to be a time of accountability. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 43. You see why Jesus is talking to the Jews? Why do you misunderstand what I'm saying? It is because your spiritual ears are deaf and you're unable to hear the truth of my words. You can be born again and have deaf spiritual ears. Don't let that happen to you, please. I've been there. It's not fun, it's not blessed. No one else can do it for you. Because no one else but you is going to be judged for it. If I said anything this morning about everybody who's in here, what God has given us on top of our salvation. Some people look at going to church as a chore. I used to a long time ago. Anything I get to do for the Lord, lots of times it's not fun. But I never look at it like a chore anymore. I thank God that I get the opportunity. Because every time I get that opportunity and I take it, I'm blessed for it. Now, I'm not going to lie, I hope I don't have to face death or see my family hurt and killed for the sake of the word of God. But I say now, and in my heart, I'm going to do everything similar to do that. There, we may live long enough to see that happen in our country. It's happening in the world a lot more than it used to whenever I was half my age. But if I've said anything, I'd like to remember that. The Lord gives us a great gift and a great opportunity. Don't waste it. That's all I got to say this morning. You may got anything we'd like to say right now. All right, we're going to recess for a while.